Be great if some of you had come because of the question, but I'm guessing most of you have come either because that's what you do or because that's what your parents want you to do. But I'm hoping that by the end of the evening a question will have been answered and you will have enjoyed yourself. Can't really ask more than that, can you? What must I do to inherit eternal life? There's an awful lot in that question, isn't there, that we can go at. But before we get to that, I just want you to think about asking questions. Just put yourself in the position of being able to ask questions. It's something that, as a young person, you do an awful lot of. I remember getting beaten up by my brothers for asking too many questions. And they were classed as silly questions as well. But for me, I needed to know. This, on the other hand, isn't a silly question, is it? Would you, have you ever asked this question? Do people ask this question? Or are people satisfied nowadays with being entertained? When I was about 19, 20, this was the question that pretty much plagued my mind. I'd got to the age where I realised life wasn't everlasting. I'd got through being a child and I was becoming an adult. And I was realising that things were slightly different. And there had to be a reason behind everything. So this was a question that I asked quite a lot. But who did I ask it to? Who did I ask? Did I ask anyone? I'm hoping most of you know where the question comes from. And by that, I'm not asking for chapter and verse. It's from the Bible, isn't it? I'm sure if I asked you, you'd be able to tell me as well whereabouts in the Bible, whether it's at the beginning or at the end, and you'd be able to tell me it's near the end, it's in the New Testament. Whereabouts in the New Testament? It's in the Gospels, isn't it? It's in the bit that deals with Jesus and his life. And it was a question that was asked to Jesus. Imagine that. Imagine being able to ask a question to somebody knowing that the answer was going to be the best answer you could possibly get. What would your question be? Would it be, what are the 5 lottery numbers for next week? You know, I'm serious, what would the question be? Would this be your question? And what would you expect as an answer? Because that's the remarkable thing, I think. That's what I want you to see tonight. Is not so much the question, but the answer. Because that's surely what we're here for, to understand the answer to this question. Just interesting to see the way that this question is answered. Okay, well, this is where we're going to have a look at the passage. I'm going to ask Matt to come forward and read it for us. It's in Luke, if you've got your Bibles. If you haven't, that's fine. Just listen. It's in Luke chapter 10. I think it's starting at verse 25.
So the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbour? And Jesus, answering, said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise.
Thanks, Matt. So there we have it. That's the question and the answer there for us, as plain as day. I'm pretty sure you've probably heard that before as well. Some of you probably heard it in Sunday school. Is that the answer that you expected? Let's just quickly look at the stages of this answer. And a bit later on I'm going to need your help. First of all, the answer is, let's quickly look through again. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, and by lawyer, this is an expert in the law. I've tried to do a little bit of digging to try and understand the person's character. We'll come to that in a bit later. But we've got a teacher of the law standing up and saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replies, what is written in your law? What have you studied? You must know this answer because you're a lawyer. You're an expert in this. What do you think? What's written in your law and how do you understand it? And this lawyer answers and says, I should love the Lord my God with all my heart and my soul and with all my strength and with all my mind and my neighbour as myself. Just putting it in the tenth of the person there. And he said to him, you've answered right. This is Jesus. You've answered right. Do this and you'll live. There's the answer. That's the exact right answer. There you have it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. There's the answer to the question. But it's not enough. And the man wants to justify this. Because it's too simple, that. That's surely too simple. Must be more to it. Who's my neighbour? And we get this parable that Jesus tells. What if the answer was a cocktail? What if the answer was, well, what you need to do is you need to get a bat's wing, you need to get half a bucket full of the water from the top of the highest mountain, you need to get apples from a special tree that only grows in the forests, in the Amazon rainforest or something. You know, if it was something like that, there's no doubt that everyone in this room would have a good go at that. You'd make it your goal to find all these ingredients, bring them together, make the concoction, and drink it down. Well, you wouldn't even have to, would you? It'd be bottled, it'd be on the shelf in Sainsbury's. But that isn't the answer. If the answer was something death-defying, like circumnavigating the globe 3 times. You know, the first time you need to do it on foot, the second time you need to do it in the air, and the third time you need to do it in a boat. If it had been something like that, some of us would have had a good go at it, wouldn't we? But it's not. What is it? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. That's simple, isn't it? So, who is my neighbour? That was the question. Well, let's look at this parable and the answer to this question. And I'm going to need some help in a few moments, but let's quickly just set the scene. I want you to put yourself in the position of the lawyer, of the expert in the law, okay? Just to give you a little bit of motivation for that, you're quite an intelligent person. That may be difficult for some of you, but you are. You're an intelligent person, okay? You've got a good job. You're an expert in the law. You're well respected. You probably wear smart clothes. When you go into the supermarket, people look at you. People are aware of you because you look smart. You're well dressed. People probably say in their hearts, he looks important, or she looks important. And you hear about a man. You've heard rumours of a man, and he seems to be very powerful. How is he powerful? Well, he can heal sick people just with his mouth and with his hands. He somehow makes impossible things happen. He can even control nature. And he stands up against the Pharisees, those honoured people. He talks like someone you've never heard before, because he talks with authority. And he's talking about things that you're trained in. He's talking about the law. And you're an expert in the law. It's your field. There's a revolution. There's people following this man. There's people leaving everything they own to follow him and to do what he says. There's I use the word massive, we use it a lot, but there are massive crowds following this person. And there's people asking him difficult questions. And he keeps talking about living forever and a kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven. And the next thing you know, is that this man is in Birmingham. And he's not only in Birmingham, but he's in your suburb. So what do you do? Well, you go and ask him a question. You go and try this out for yourself. Right. This is where I need help. I'm going to come down here and we're going to act out what Jesus has said in answer to this question, because I think it's very helpful and powerful to see what Jesus was saying, because that's why he said it in a parable. He could have just said, a neighbour is the person who shows love to somebody else. He could have just said that, but he doesn't. He gives a picture. So let's have a look at that picture. I'm going to need some help from anybody, really. But I know that younger people are better at this sort of thing. Am I okay to leave the microphone?
If you're just at the bottom here, we can.
Okay. Right. I need a certain man. I need we've discovered that he's a lawyer. I need somebody who's quite intelligent, or somebody that can pretend to be intelligent. Yes? The finger is pointed. I have no idea of your name.
Paul,
can you be our certain young man? Please. I need you to just, if you want, just stand by the Bible there. Right. So here's our certain man. And where is he travelling to and from? Does anyone know? Was anyone listening? He's going to Jericho from Jerusalem. Okay, I asked you to stand next to the Bible because that's a great visual aid for Jerusalem. And Jericho is over here somewhere. I won't ask you to move just yet. But when I do, you need to come this way. Okay. Who met him along the way? Who was the first person that met this?
Prophets.
No.
A priest.
A priest. Sorry. No, you're right. Of course it was. Thank you. Yeah. Before we get to that, I need a priest. Can I have a priest? Is anyone feeling like they want to be a priest? Brilliant. Come on, Isabella. And I need a Levite as well. How about your sister? Do you want to grab your sister? Brilliant. Okay. If you can just queue up over there and ready. And I'm going to need a Samaritan. Who fancies being a Samaritan? Oh, she's not moving. Mate, is anyone going to be a Samaritan?
Karen's a good Samaritan.
Yeah? Brilliant. Thank you. Okay.
I think Mick's holding out with the Robin.
Yep. Later on, I might need a donkey as well, so. Okay, so as was said, the certain man falls upon thieves. Basically, thieves see this man coming and they attack him and rob him of what he's got. We won't do that bit, I don't think, because I don't think I know you well enough to get away with that sort of thing. But if you could just kind of fall into trouble and find yourself on the floor somewhere about there. There we go. Wow! Fantastic! I don't think you would have been smiling though. Brilliant. Okay. And now we need a priest to come along. Okay? I'm not going to give you any motivation. I just want you to come along and do what you think you need to do. Great. Thank you. So what did you do there, Isabella? You ignored him. Okay. You saw him though, didn't you? You saw him and you chose to ignore him. And what are you? The priest. Do you know what a priest is? No. I'll give you a clue. A priest really was the mediator, the go-between between God and the people. He had an amazing position of authority, really, but was in subjection. It was his job to make sure that people came to God. And what did you do? When you walked past you, you ignored him. Okay. Our Levite, brilliant. If you'd like to come and do what you think you need to do.
Help. Help me. Help.
Brilliant. Isabella, what does the Levite do? Same thing, doesn't he? Doesn't she? Thank you. Does anyone know what a Levite is? A Levite is like a priest. It's somebody of the priestly line. So it's another religious person. And what did they do? Ignored him. Just a quick question. If you saw Uncle Paul lying on the floor like this, would you ignore him? No. I'm glad for that answer. Okay, and now we need the Samaritan to come past, and I'm not going to give you any motivation. You just do what you think you need to do. You might need to find a donkey.
Donkey, donkey, donkey.
Up to you.
He's got shit on fire.
outside, Sal.
Superb. Thank you. Round of applause, I think. Thanks, everybody. If you want to sit down, that's brilliant.
Come back up.
Not quite yet.
No?
So, what is a priest? We've discovered that. What is a Levite? Who is a Levite? We've discovered that. Who or what, then, is a Samaritan? Does anybody... It's quite a difficult question when you haven't looked at it in detail, I know that. But just anyone have a...
It's a bit like the Palestinians today, isn't it? They just, they're in the land of Israel with the Israelites, and they don't really like each other.
Okay, so for the kids, how would we explain that? Sorry to put you on the spot, Matt.
It was like another group of people who weren't people of Israel. They weren't the people of God. And so they didn't like folk, they didn't like each other. So if you saw a Jew and you were a Samaritan, you wouldn't talk to them. And if you're a Samaritan and you saw a Jew, and I've done that one, if you're a Jew and you saw a Samaritan, you wouldn't talk to them or help them or do anything for them. In fact, the Samaritans used to, and the Jews used to sort of try to disturb each other's religion and so on.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Yeah. To use a modern phrase, okay, basically what you've got here is racism. There's a prejudice, okay, between these people. And this is exactly what Jesus is getting at. This is the point that he's making. This person who is you have a prejudice against, who you don't like, is helping. The others are not. So who's the being the neighbour? You've asked the question, who is my neighbour? Who's being the neighbour? You can imagine this man really doesn't want to answer, but he does. He doesn't even say the name, does he? He doesn't even use the phrase that Jesus has used. What he should say is the Samaritan, but he doesn't. He says, the man who showed him favour. So the answer to the question is, well, you go and do likewise. So the justification that this man wants of who is my neighbour, what is the answer? Let's put it in plain terms. What is Jesus saying? Who is your neighbour? I'll tell you. Anybody. In need. Everybody in need. That is what he's saying. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love everybody and anybody as yourself, regardless of the colour of their skin or their religious beliefs. We're going to have a hymn. Matt, back to you.
Okay, well, as we've seen so far, Jesus shows us the true way to eternal life. And we're going to sing of that in hymn 356. I am the way, the truth and the life. That's what Jesus said. No man can come to the Father but by me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hymn 356.
Now then, how do the Gospels work? How are the Gospels written? Well, we know that they're all talking about the same thing, aren't they? The Gospel records are all talking about the same events, the same things that happened in Jesus' life. This question in the Gospels comes up an awful lot. But there's overlaps, aren't there? Because there's four different records of the same events. But Luke, one of those, has two incidents of this question being asked. So this question was asked at two different times by two different people. And they're both recorded. Mum, is tea ready yet? No. Mum, is tea ready yet? No! When something is said twice, it's because it's meant, isn't it? We know that. So it's important that this question is asked, because it's recorded twice. Well, okay, we've seen the first answer, and that was straightforward. Is the second answer different? Right, well, again, I've looked around these passages, and I've tried to build a character of the person that's asking the question. Okay, so I'm going to give you a bit of a motivation. I'm going to set the scene for you this time. You're a slightly different person this time. Might be difficult for some of you, this one. If the intelligent thing was hard, then this is going to be very hard. Because this time, you're young. You're not just young, you're rich. Like you were before, well, you were intelligent before, but now you're rich. There are a lot of rich people in the world, but there aren't many rich people who are young as well. That's different. When you have your, well, look, we only have to turn our TV sets on, don't we, and look at those people who are young and rich. And some of them, well, most of them are in rehab, aren't they, or whatever, because it's gone to the head. But that isn't the case with this person. This person's in charge of a big company. There's lots of people that work for you. You've probably got about three cars, I reckon. At least three cars. One of them's a big 4x4. One of them's a little sleek sports car. And you've also got a limousine and a driver, because that's what comes along with a limousine. So when you don't want to drive, you get driven. You've got a big house. And because you live in Israel, you're close to the sea. Anyone that lives in Israel is quite close to the sea. So you've got a boat as well. You've got a lovely big yacht. But like I said, you're not big-headed. You're not arrogant. You're actually quite a nice person. You treat your employees well. And you pray regularly. You worship regularly. So when you hear about this man that's come to your town, there's a burning question that you have. You're desperate to ask it. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Again, imagine the answers. Imagine the possibilities of what the answer could be. All those wondrous things. And what's the answer? Well, let's have a quick look. Luke chapter 18. Starting at verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour your father and your mother. And he said, "All these I've kept from my youth up." Similar answer. You know the law. I know the law. And I've kept the law. I'm a good person. I pray regularly. I worship regularly. What must I do? So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, well, you lack one thing. Your boat isn't quite big enough. That's not what he says, is it? It's the exact opposite. You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when you heard this, you became very sad, because you're very, very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. That man walked away. He'd been given the answer, and he walked away. He didn't follow Jesus. He didn't respond to the answer. He walked away. Why? Because the answer was too difficult for him. The answer was simple. Sell everything that you own and distribute the money to the poor and follow me. That isn't difficult, is it? It's a simple thing. It's not like running a marathon. It's not like being asked to beat Usain Bolt in the 100 meters. Everyone can do it. But this man can't. And he turns his back on eternal life. Because what he has, he can't let go of. Two different incidents, two similar answers. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love anybody and everybody. If there's anything in your life that stands between you and eternal life, get rid of it. And follow Jesus. There's the answer. Pretty simple, I think. Easy enough for anybody, able-bodied or not, male or female, young or old. It's a universal answer. I really, really urge you not to be like this rich young ruler. Not to turn away and regard the things of this world as more important than the things of the one to come.